Saddle up your horses.
And welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. Every week we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. On today's program, we're going to look at the wonderful adventure of getting spiritually fit in our Bible study and continue with great Christian music, but let's continue with the great adventure, which truly our life in Christ is. On today's program, we're starting something new called Answering a Hard Question. Answering a Hard Question. We're going to do our normal Bible study and our wonderful music, but I thought I would answer a hard question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a hard question people ask and attempt to answer it. If you would like to submit a question for me to answer on future radio programs, you can email me, Pastor Matthew Vroman at MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. So here's the hard question. Is there a hell? Is there a hell? And the answer is yes, there is. I'm just going to read you some verses. So it's a fairly, there's different levels of hell and different things, but I just want to give a basic overview of what hell is. And when we come to the Bible, we take the literal meaning when it's literal, figurative meaning when it's figurative. And here is the answer. I'm going to read you a couple verses about hell, and then I'll explain what it is. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, described as a lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 refers to hell. So it's a literal place of fire or communicating pain. Where don't turn off. I'm going to explain how not to go to hell, but I do want to answer the question, is hell a literal place? And the answer is yes. I'm going by the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So it's everlasting destruction. So how do you not go to hell? So it's a literal place. There's no purgatory in the Bible. If you're believing that, that's not in, according to the Bible. People either go to heaven or hell. We'll talk about heaven, of course, later, but in a future program. Here's what the Bible says. It's where the wrath of God abides on you. St. John, or the Gospel of John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you do not believe in the Son, he died for your sins personally, you're not going to be in heaven. You're going to be in hell. Another verse about believing in Christ. So it's a good news. You don't have to go to hell. Everyone, because their sin is punished in hell, but we don't have to. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death to life. Hell is a place of death. Heaven is a place of life, relationship with God. So, yes, that's our question. Hell is real, very clear in Scripture, but through Christ, we do not have to go to hell, and I hope that you have trusted him. So that's the hard question of the week. We'll go over another hard question next radio program. Well, let's continue with some more wonderful music.
Songs of deliverance. Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have found that Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Lost the way. You are.
That is such a powerful testimony of God's goodness to us, and He's the God of love. Another question you might ask that would be hard would be, how do I know God's love? I don't feel Him all the time. Well, God is not a feeling. And you have His absolute word of God. So you don't need to walk in like, well, I don't feel He's not always there. Yeah, feelings are okay, but don't let your faith be shaped by your feelings. Let your feelings be shaped by your faith. We need to remember God is so good and how He changed our life in Christ and the finished work of Christ is death, burial, and resurrection. I hope you're spiritually encouraged with that thought. I know sometimes the darkness can drag on and it's becoming more of the winter time and that can be kind of hard, but you need to remember God is good. All the time, God is good.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. Great High Priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on His hands, my name is written on His heart. I know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see Him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. To look on Him and pardon me, to look on Him and pardon me. Behold Him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with Himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by His blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
We looked at last time the reality of, are we spiritually fit? Are we spiritually fit? And if you're watching, that's so good. Just hit that share, like, all that stuff. Let's see some hearts. But so are you someone that is spiritually fit? And we talked about that starts with being saved, if I trusted Christ. And then we looked at some of the disciplines that are involved. We looked at one of them, just like you'd work out if you are going to get physically fit, you're going to work out if you're going to be spiritually fit. And on today's Bible study, let's first do a review. So God wants Christians, he wants everybody, but he wants Christians to be spiritually healthy. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ's goal or his agenda was that we as Christians would have abundant life. Life is something that's lived out. Life is something that is that relationship with Christ. Then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, he described it like running a race. He said, I want to just highlight one verse, 1 Corinthians 9:26. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, he disciplined himself. And we talked about one of the first exercises, the first one you want to make sure you're doing is spending daily time in God's Word. So daily, you're in the Bible. Let me give you two verses. That was last time. Psalm 119:24. "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Let me ask you, what's something that you love to eat? What's some kind of food that you just cherish to eat? Is it a cookie? Is it ice cream? Is it chocolate? Are you healthy and say, "No, I like a good salad"? We'll pray for you. Just kidding. Whatever it is, you get the idea of delight, or you delight in maybe looking at nature, delight in doing something, get delight in your job. We understand delight. He says, "Thy testimonies are my delight." The Bible is something that we should delight in. And he says, "And my counselors." Let me ask you, why would you want to spend daily time with God? Well, so you can get counsel, you can get advice, you can get perspective on the right thing to do. I'm glad God gives us his counselors in his word. So it's our delight and our counselors. I like how he says, "my delight, my counselors," not somebody else's, it's his. And then the next verse is, that was Psalm 119:24. The next verse is Psalm 119:15. "This is my comfort in my affliction." You ever had a bad time or something bad, affliction? That's not a fun word. We don't say, "Hey, I'm going through affliction. It's really, really easy." No, it's challenging when we're going through affliction. You ever been through the valley? Everybody goes through the valley. And what he says is, "This is my comfort in my affliction." So a couple things. We can have comfort in affliction. We can have comfort in affliction. And number two, he tells you what gave him comfort in his afflictions. And what was it? "For thy word has quickened me." Quicken is the idea of bringing alive. We would do horses, and in the horse there's a part of a horse's hoof that's like a triangle, and we would shave it down to the soft area, the quick. And he says, "This is my comfort in my afflictions, that you've made me alive." Why? "For thy word." So he used, in the difficult times, we tend to sometimes not pursue God, not read his Bible. But what he said is, in those times, my comfort was the word of God. So the first thing we spiritually need to do if we're going to be spiritually healthy, and we talked about this last week, but we need to make sure that we are in his Bible every day. Pick a time, pick a place, systematically read through the Bible. I'm reading through Exodus. It's going a little slower because I'm taking my time to meditate or think about what's in the Word of God. And I think one of the points I made last week, a little hoarse, sorry about that, is that he says that the idea of meditating or in the book of the law. We looked at a verse in James that he continued in the book, not another devotional book, but in the very Word of God. Now, excuse me. The second exercise, there's five total. We're going to do the second one. Relationships are built on listening and talking. It's pretty obvious. If you don't talk to somebody for a while, you don't have a good relationship with them. If you want to become spiritually healthy, you must talk to God regularly in a focused way. I want to break that down. First of all, a couple realities or benefits. Why would you pray? I know you're thinking, well, I know I need to pray, but let's look at a couple verses on that. First of all, Matthew 26, 41. Here's what it says. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit is indeed willing. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you know that a lot of the people I know here, they work all day. They're exhausted physically. This is the text, what Jesus told his disciples when he came back and they'd fallen asleep. Well, also we know our flesh doesn't crave anything that is spiritually of value. We just don't do it. Excuse me. And the second, so if you, and he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. If you're spiritually getting beat, one of the things you should look at, are you being intentional about your prayer life? Watch is something where if you knew somebody's going to break in your house, you're not going to be just like, well, I'll go to sleep. I'll pay. No, you're going to be like looking around. He says, watch and pray. Pay attention. And then he says, another passage, this is in Paul writing from jail. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. Worry is a choice. Most things we worry about do not come to pass. And the things that do come to pass that we're worried about, we don't help it by worrying about it. But in everything, by prayer and petition, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he says, don't worry about anything, but what you can do is instead of worrying, you can pray and you can let your supplication or things you need known before God. And then he says in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians, in the peace of God, that peace, that internal peace, that peace that's not dependent on what's outside of us, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're struggling with worry, stress, temptation, and sin, prayer is one of the disciplines you want to dig deep in. You just want to. So let's talk about how to pray. Now, I'm not talking about what a lot of people will tell me, well, I pray on it. I do a little prayer. That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about focused, intense prayer that you pull away with God. Let's look at, we know this as the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew. It's in another gospel too. But this is the, I would call this not the Lord's Prayer. Everybody's got this memorized. I would call this the Lord's Prayer for followers of Him. Here's what I mean. It's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Let me read it to you. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we're going to break that down. And I think you're going to see what we're talking about as far as a spiritual discipline of prayer. The first point he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. There's a lot of people that have the text I just read memorized. They recite it in church. Nothing wrong with that. But he did not look at this as primarily a thing that you're just going to regurgitate, you're going to memorize, and you're going to be able to recite. He looked at this as a manner or a pattern or a plan for how to pray. In other words, if you want to know what Jesus would teach us about how to pray, this is his plan. This is the blueprint to how to do your prayer life. So the first point he says, our Father. Our Father. First thing you do in prayer is you focus on your relationship with God. Our Father. doesn't matter if God is your father? Yes, it does. Because if you're not his son, his daughter, you're not a child of God. You're not with him, and you're thus an enemy. The only way to claim our father is through Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Okay, so you've got to make sure you're putting your confidence in Christ. So the first thing you do is you focus on the relationship you have with God. Well, what does that do? That makes you remember the main thing, and that's a relationship with God. Now, this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's John 17:3. Next thing he says, art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. You're like, well, what's that got to do with it? That has a lot to do with it. When you're praying to God, like we're talking about, and you have a lot going on down here, people you're angry at, stressed, your life, God's in heaven. He is in a secure place. He's not moving around like the waves of the barren sea as I look out the window. He's not unstable. No, he's secure in heaven. It's good to know I'm all, but God is like, okay. He's not sitting there like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you're all stressed. No, he's in heaven, in that secure place of heaven that doesn't, it doesn't get shook by the things down here on the earth. Now, he cares, and we know he's moved by his children, but he's not insecure. He's secure. Then it says, hallowed be thy name. We come to God, and we remember he's our Father. We remember he's in heaven. We also remember he is reverent. He's without sin. Hallowed be thy name means all the character of him he is pure. Why is that important? Well, if you came to God and his character is not pure, then he can lie. God can change his mind. He can say, oh, well, actually, you're not my son. I kick you out today. But that's not God. His character is pure. He's hallowed. And so when we come to him, we are excited because we know he is not going to change. He's the same today, in the future, in the past. Hebrews 13 says that about Christ. So Jesus, God the Father, I mean, he's pure. Next, so we go, our relationship with God, we're focused on that. We're focused on he is in heaven, so he's above us. He's deserving of worship. He is, he's reverent. We revere him. Now we get into the hard part. So if that's our relationship with God in prayer, then it begins to filter down. So we don't even start with focusing on, oh God, I've got all these needs. We focus on who he is. That's what Jesus starts with. Pattern. Like if you had point by point, point number one in your prayer, spend some time focusing on your relationship with God, that God is stable and secure and high, so you worship him. And three, he's reverence. We revere him because he's holy. His name is pure. Next, we get into something I don't always enjoy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will, thy kingdom, the reign of God. So think about it for a minute. Does God want to reign and will he reign? Yes. Christ is going to return. He's going to set up the kingdom. The rapture is going to happen and then Christ is going to return. But the point is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What God wants. You ever had somebody who wanted to make you do something you didn't want to do? They're like, they're not with your will. Well, when we come to prayer now, we have to be challenged with his priorities, but also that motivates us in how to pray. So for example, you have somebody that maybe is not saved. Does God want them to be saved? Yes, he does. Did he die for them? Yes, he did. Did he rise from? So you can pray for them. Thy kingdom come means God wants me to show in my actions his kingdom. So I pray, God, help me to be patient with that person. Help me to, and go on, and you just pray for the things of God. The importance, help the church advance. Help touch that darkness over there. And so we're looking at these exercises. We were looking at spiritual health and the idea that we have a pattern, the Lord's Prayer, which most of us have memorized, But that's a pattern or a plan for how Christ wants us to pray. And the first point, again, you've got it, relationship with God, our Father, who art in heaven. He's secure. His name is reverent. And then what does he want? Does he want all the wickedness? No. The next part is 10 words, and I think it's the hardest part in the prayer, and I think you'll see why. And forgive us our debts. We like that. Please forgive me of my sins, God. God, I did this, I did this, I did this. I confess it, as 1 John says. But that's not all it says. As we forgive our debtors. So when we come to prayer, how we think about others, we actually choose to forgive others. Now, I want to talk about the forgiveness, what he's talking about there. So let's say a Christian is praying, our Father, who has had terrible things done against them. You've had stuff stolen from you. You had somebody violate you. Well, I'm not going to say you just need to forgive that person and forget, because that's not possible. I mean, I guess it is, but I think it'd be really hard. But the thing is that's there, forgive us our debts. So what happens, how this works, God never minimizes the terrible things that have happened to us. He doesn't say, well, that was no big deal when that person violated you. That's not what God does. But what God does do, the secret of forgiveness, is you pray and you're talking to God and you realize how much you have offended him because of your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you got saved, you realized, as Paul said here, a trustworthy sinners. Trustworthy statement, I'm the worst of sinners. He said that in 1 Timothy. Well, you realize how bad you were to God and he forgave you, and then you can forgive somebody else. You'll never really be able to forgive somebody else unless you understand how God forgave you. Because it makes you realize, like Isaiah said, away from me, I'm a man of unclean lips. The next thing he finished out praying, lead us not into temptation. Now, there a lot of people think the Bible says God will not give us more than we can handle. That's not, the Bible didn't say that. In fact, if you look in Scripture, most of the time, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that's more than people can handle, but that's points that we'll trust God. But what he does say is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says he's not going to tempt us beyond more than we can bear. Let me read you the verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now get that. He does give us more than we can handle, so we'll trust him. But here's what it does say. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will make a way for us to get out of temptation. So the next thing you pray is, lead us not to temptation. I don't want to be in sin, but deliver us from evil. There's evil things out there. And deliverance is another word in the Old Testament for salvation. Deliver us from thy enemies. God delivered us to the promised land. God is going to deliver us to heaven. The New Jerusalem, the idea of deliverance. And he said, he prays. He's like, don't lead me into temptation. Don't lead me into sin. And also, deliver me from evil. So if you have people coming against you, pray for that. God, these people are coming against me. I'm gonna choose to forgive them, but you got to deliver me from this evil. Let's get a testimony of that. God will, because he's our Father. A father protects his children, especially in this context. It all comes back to relationship. So lead us not temptation speaks of our weakness, and deliver us from evil speaks of victory. How awesome is that? Well, and then he finishes off with 3 points, and we don't want to miss those. For thine is the kingdom. So I'm praying this because it's about the reign of God, the kingdom of God. Number 2, and the power. Well, if you get in a fight, whoever's the most powerful is going to win. If God was not the most powerful, then how can you have confidence that he'll ever answer prayer? Because maybe there's something more powerful than him. But of course, he is the great rock. He is the one who conquered death. He is the powerful creator. And then he says, in thy glory, it's his presence. We're going to learn more about that church on Sunday as we look at John chapter 1, the glory of God, his presence. And he says, forever. This doesn't change. It isn't something like, well, maybe he's powerful today, tomorrow he's not. Maybe he's the king. No, this is forever. And they says, amen, amen, just basically means so be it. So we've looked at a pattern for prayer. You should go back and read that in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13, and think about what we've talked about. The final point, though, is I want to go back to the example of Jesus. What are we talking about? Are we talking about, again, just like, hey, I'm just kind of praying? No, this is focused prayer time. It doesn't have to be long, but it's focused prayer time. Look at Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, so Jesus had been very, very busy, but still he got up. He went out and departed in a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus got alone to where he could really talk to God, and we see what we're supposed to be doing. Focus on a relationship with him. You focus on he's in heaven. He's hallowed. He's reverent. You focus on his will, his kingdom. You choose to forgive as he forgives you. And you come away changed. Those are powerful things to think about. So this is our Bible study tonight. Let me ask you, are you daily walking with God? Are you daily doing some? So a lot of people say, I'm not spiritually doing well. Okay, that's valid. But are you doing the things you need to do to be doing spiritually well? I laid out too, well, you got to make sure you're saved. You got to be in the Word daily. Spend some concerted time where you're reading the Bible, you're interacting with God. And you got to be in prayer. A concerted time alone. It doesn't have to be long. Pick a time. Don't do the bed because you'll most of the time fall asleep. And if you'll do that, we've got three more extra spiritual exercises we're going to look at. We're going to look out. We're going to view in the next couple weeks. But those are two right there, and they're so, so critical. If you will make that a daily part of your life and not miss, you will start seeing some spiritual muscles and have a powerful spiritual health that God so wants you.
It's all I need to give it one more try.
This has been another great show. I've really enjoyed being with you on this wonderful Sunday morning. I pray God blesses you through the teaching and the music and the encouraging testimonies. Don't forget to email me a hard question, mathewroman@gmail.com, and I will love to address the next hard question that comes our way. Bring them on. On today's program, we had several music, and I want to read you the names of those. You can go to YouTube where I download the MP3s. The Great Adventure by Stephen Curse Chapman, Hello Grace, which we just heard from Selah, S-E-L-A-H, You Are My Hiding Place with lyrics, You Are My Hiding, Before the Throne of God Above by Selah, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. I just hope that you have a really good week, and I hope that you're focusing on how Christ has blessed you and growing in that relationship every day. If you'd like to connect with me again, you could email me at mathewroman@gmail.com. I also wanted to say, don't forget that my books are out on Amazon. If you wanted to purchase those, I would really appreciate it. It's M-A-T-H-E-W, last name Roman, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N. You can just go to Amazon. You can get the Kindle or the paperback version. And then there's a new YouTube channel I'm doing called By the Bible, where I take clips and teachings and I evaluate it by the Bible. On this week, the last one I did, it was rendition called Africa Says No, and about the African church being upset with the American church and the Methodist domination because of a decision to make, and they're like, we're not going along with it, and this Liberian leader calling them out. It's a pretty fun show. It's not long videos, so I hope you'll check it out. It's By the Bible. It's been great to be with you again. As I mentioned, it's just very blessed that this radio station allows this program, and I hope that you will support the radio program. The website is apradio.org, apradio.org, not just the program, but the station. Dave, Virgil, and everybody, the church, the radio board, does a great job. So with that, I will let the music take us out. Let me close in prayer, and just know that you are loved by Christ, and I would love to hear from you. Lord, thank you again for everyone that has been listening. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be blessing our time, Lord. And as we go this week, we think about the Lord and how powerful he is. And I just thank you again for everybody that listens. Bless the radio station. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will see you next week. And this has been the Hour of Hope. I'm Pastor Matthew. Have a great day. How about we finish off with one that's going to put a smile on your face and take you back to the joy of childhood. Jesus loves the little children, and he does.